Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right, so you guys sound very alert this morning. I think it's the cold weather. You step outside, it definitely makes you wake. So let's take a moment just for a second. Look to the person next to you. Close your eyes. I want you to pray for them. Just a small prayer, but I want you to pray for them for a moment, okay? Whether you know them or not, you'll pray for them. Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask, Lord, your spirit to be upon us, Lord, as we know that you are. We pray, Father, our hearts and our eyes will be open and attentive to what you'd have for us this morning. We thank you for this, for your word through song. And we just ask, Lord, that we be attentive, Lord, during these next few minutes, Lord, that we may learn from your word and we may grow up in your name. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Always feels good to pray for somebody, amen? Because it's not all about you, right? But sometimes it is about you. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to 2 Kings chapter 18. We're going to skim through some scriptures this morning. But you're going to hear a name probably some of you have heard of, but many of us probably don't know too much. This is one of those stories that you may have read way back in the day, maybe, and maybe not. This is one that doesn't get taught much on or preached on much at all. This is something that you kind of go through on your own reading. If you're reading through the Bible in a year, you will come across it. But this is one that many of us are not familiar with, but I want you to hear that it is familiar. So 2 Kings chapter 18, we're going to talk about a man named Hezekiah. We're going to talk about this guy here. He is a king. And I want to share with you that we are coming up on the new year, so we should. There are some things that some people say resolutions are not really good. People break them. Here's the thing. People do break them. They break them all the time. But you know what? You just got to keep trying, right? You got to keep going back up the bat, keep swinging, and keep going for it, because there are some people that keep them. I would be cautious. If you make a vow before the Lord, you better keep it, because God says that He'd rather you not make that vow than you to make it and then you break it. So vows, we're not talking about vows, but if you are in that area of wanting to do that, take very cautious when you make a vow before the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Because God takes your word serious. Takes it more serious than you do. So, also, just before I forget, we are having the we go into our fast. Our fast will be starting this week, Tuesday at 6 p.m. We'll go through to Wednesday 6 p.m. We're doing that every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. for the whole month of January. Yay! Right? Yes, we'll talk about that. That's about drawing closer to the Lord. Okay, it's about the things that we'll be bringing up in the next few weeks. And one of those things is we all know this. We need to be closer to the Lord. We need to be more about the Lord's things. So we're going to talk about this guy named Hezekiah. He became a king at the age of 25. How would you like to have that responsibility at the age of 25? At the age of 25, he is the king. And he does something different than his father did. You know, you don't have to be well, your father was. Now, if your father is a good father, you know, there's some things you want to, some character traits you want to take off of him. But still, you're your own person. You're your own woman, your own man, and you need to figure out that. But there's some things maybe that your parents did that you don't want to repeat. And that's okay, because Hezekiah did not want to repeat what his father had done. And that's in previous chapters. But he is going to stand. The Bible says we're going to stand and give an account of our life before the Lord. I'm not going to stand and give an account for you, but I'm going to give a stand account for me. Yeah, I'll give an account for how I've taught and what I teach and preach. But for you, I cannot stand and give an account for you. But you will stand and give an account for your own life in front of the Lord. So Hezekiah, he begins to do something that his father would not do. And his father wasn't interested in doing it, but Hezekiah was. So when you look at the first thing that he really did, it says in verse 3, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. That is always a good thing when you read about these kings and people in the Bible, when it says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. That's always a good start. Doesn't always mean it finishes that way, but it is a good start, because many times it would say, this man displeased the Lord or what have you. But we see here that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord according to all that his father David had done. And he removed the high places and he broke the sacred pillars. And he cut down the wooden images. I was skimming through the channels yesterday, and I saw that place that I've told you about on Cummington Road, the tarot reader and the psychic and all those things. And they were making a commercial about what they were offering, about how they can give you insight about you. So they're advertising on from Covington Road, and I drove past it. We drove past it a few times over the summer, and it is getting, the little crowd is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The parking lot is getting fuller and fuller and fuller. And that is on Sunday, when I usually drive by and see it from time to time. So we know that there are people that worship something different than what we do. And he is the king. He is the king of Judah, king of Israel. He's a mess. They're just in a mess now. But Hezekiah is king of Judah, and he begins to tear down these sacred pillars, and he cuts down the wooden image. And then all of a sudden, it says that he broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made way back when. And Moses was leading the people out of Egypt. There was some snakes that came in because the people just kept rebelling against God, and they rebelled against God, and the snakes were coming out there biting everybody. And the Lord says, you know what, to make a big bronze serpent, when you look at it, you'd be healed. Now, instead, you know, there was a time when that helped people and was a faith back into God, but now it has become the stumbling block, and they begin to worship this statue of the bronze serpent. So it says, until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it, and they called it Nehushtan. So they gave it a name. And Hezekiah says, I'm done with that. I'm in charge. So here's what I want you to get this morning. When something is under your command, under your leadership, and under your control, there are some things that you might need to do. There's some things in your life that you might need to take out that's just not good for you. And Hezekiah says, I am the king, and I'm going to take some things out of my kingdom that are not good for my people. So he begins to tear down all these things. That's a good sign for the Lord. Amen? Take some things down in your life that you need to take down. And these things were stumbling blocks in the relationship with God. It says in verse 5, he trusted in the Lord of God of Israel. So he trusted in the Lord. So there was a good part there, that he wasn't just a one-time person who did this one-time thing and this one good thing for the Lord. No, he continued to do that. But I will tell you, when you do what God has called you to do, Satan, the dark side, evil, the darkness, is always ready to come up and face you and begin to challenge you. Let me tell you, your faith will be tested. If you have faith in the Lord, your faith will be tested. Okay? If you don't, then there's no reason for your faith to be tested. But here we see now that there is a Syrian king who's coming into the land, and he wants to come over. Now he's taken everybody. He's messed already with Israel. He's messed with all the other places, Samaria, all those places. And now he wants to come in, and he wants to mess with Judah. He wants to mess with King Hezekiah, and he wants to do these things. Now, we don't have time to go into all the details, so I want to go through just a few things that came to be. Now, what happens is King from Assyria has a messenger. They always love to send messengers. They always love to do intimidation. You know, dark side, you know, Satan always loves to do intimidation. He always loves to do an intimidation. Now, we're all intimidated by different things. But this king decides to send his intimidator. It says messenger, but it's intimidator, to say that you need to surrender, because the messenger begins to say that, you know, nobody can stop the king of Assyria. Everywhere he goes, he destroys and he takes over. So you need to throw in the towel. You need to throw in the towel. And so he says here in verse 28, he stood and he called out with a loud voice in Hebrew, and he spoke, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Syria. Thus says the Lord, thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand. I want to tell you that the first thing that the dark side loves to tell you is, don't listen to your leader. Don't listen to your leaders. Okay? If they're godly leaders, don't listen to them. He says, nor Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Now he says, don't listen to your leader, but he also says, don't trust in the Lord. That's a pretty good sign not to listen. Maybe to listen, but not to do, right? Because he says, nor let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. He feared Hezekiah because Hezekiah was having the people trust in the Lord. He says, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Syria. And he says, do not listen to Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria. Make peace with me. Bring me a present. And if you do that, I'll take care of you. And you can live in your land. And if you come in my land, I'll take care of you. And those are always the promises that the deceiver can never keep. You know, Satan doesn't keep his promises. You know that, right? Because the sin costs you a lot, doesn't it? He never tells you the cost of the sin, does he? He tells you always the fun part of it or what you want to get out of it. He'll never tell you the truth of it. But Hezekiah told his people not to listen or not to say anything back. You're not to respond to this messenger. I like verse 36 because sometimes we in leadership, we and even in our own family, sometimes we think my kids never listen or our church members never listen or our community never listens. But he says in verse 36, but the people held their peace and answered him, not a word. For the king's command it was, do not answer him. There's a time when we don't need to say anything. And the people listen. So it's good to have, it's good to be a part of that from time to time. But everything falls back on leadership. Whether it's your family, something's going on in your family, everybody's around you, but what happens when everybody leaves your home? The phone calls stop coming. You as a leader in your home, in the church, business, whatever it may be, you're the one that's going to take, you got the weight on your shoulders and you're at home, you're in your place, what are you going to do? Hezekiah gives us a great example on what to do. He heard all this stuff that the king is bigger than him, his king is bigger than him, he has a greater army and he is vicious and he has a repertoire, he has a history of winning all battles. In chapter 19, verse 1, it says, and it was so that Hezekiah heard it, and he tore his clothes, and he covered himself with sackcloth, and here it is, he went into the house of the Lord. You see, there's a difference in a believer and a non-believer, and then a believer who is not focused on the Lord, but is that lukewarm believer. You see, that believer that is in the Lord, he knows what to do. When he comes and faces the darkness of his life and those things are coming and the weight of the world, what he does is he goes to the house of the Lord. I like that. I like it even that he's even the king, that he has that he's not leaning on his military commanders and all them. What he is doing is he is taking it to the Lord. Did you hear what I just said? He's not leaning on people. You do not find that. I don't know why we don't teach and preach on this stuff as much as we should. This guy did not lean on any. You will not see another person's name in here at all. It's between him and God. Did you get that? Oh, wait until something comes up in his life. Again, here it is. An enemy is before him, and he takes it to the Lord, and he begins to pray to the Lord. And he says, there's a person that comes in here, and it's a well-known name, and his name is Isaiah. I mean, y'all heard of Isaiah before. And he's done. Now this messenger is going to return again. And he begins to speak even more things. Now we're going to come and we're going to raid. We're going to take you out. And he says in verse 10, he says, thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. What he's saying, he comes back again. He says, listen, don't trust in your king. Don't trust in this Lord that he worships. Trust in the king of Syria. This is what's going on even in our country today. We have put our eyes on the political arena and taken them off the godly kingdom. It is the Lord who runs all things. Listen, kingdoms come and stand and kingdoms come and fall. There was a time when Europe was the greatest military nation in the world. Didn't last long. Rome was the same way. The Romans had it going on. Babylonia, they had it going on. England had it once. France had it for a short time. Everybody gets a piece of the pie for a short time. But nobody seemed to last. And it comes in a form of a letter this time. In verse 14, it says, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, and he read it. You see, sometimes verbal can mess with you, but if you can beat that, you can work through it. But sometimes it is a message. And the message, and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and he spread it before the Lord. You know what he did? He says, I got a message. I don't want to read. He reads it and it's distressing. The enemy is not stopping. They're coming. And he doesn't take it to his commanders. He takes it to the Lord and he spreads it out. Like, God, you see what I'm going through. I see. We just received an email here lately. I heard that, huh? You know, yeah. We received an email lately. It was not a good email. It was how bad I was. How bad my wife was. How bad this church was. How bad all these ministries was. And how they are. I responded to the first one. I will not respond again. Because after that, it just became nitpicking, and slamming. Oh, there was a moment I wanted to jump in there and say a few more things. There was someone else who wanted to jump in there and say a few more things. But you have to take these things in your own hands and take them in your own power. That's exactly what the devil wants us to do. But we have to lay it before the Lord and go on. And here's what he says. He spreads it out to the Lord. Then Hezekiah prayed. This guy, I'm telling you, I don't know why we don't talk about him more. But this guy, he lays it out before God. I mean, he physically, this is the guy that I can relate with. He's a king, but what you see is what you get. I don't get it, Lord. He's a guy who just wrestles with the Lord. He lays it all out there, physically lays it out there. And he has this prayer that he goes and he prays. And then verse 20, it says, then Isaiah sent Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord of God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against this king of Syria, I have heard it. Now the Lord hears your prayers, amen? We are really moving fast on this guy. I mean, this story, there's a lot in here, but I don't want to spread it out more than one message. And God gives a response, but he speaks through Isaiah, prophet. That's the way God did it most of the time. He'll speak through a prophet. And he says in verse 34, the Lord says, for I will defend this city to save it. But here's what he says. He says, for my sake, for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. Now God does things sometimes different for different reasons than what we do. For our own reasons. But God says, it's for my sake. I'm going to save that city. And it came on that certain night that an angel of the Lord went out and he killed in the camp the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose in the morning, there were all the corpses and they were all dead. So the Lord went out and defeated the enemy before they came. Do you think that is ironic that that happened? You think that was just a piece? That is an amazing piece. When you understand that the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's, you understand that He can do all things. And not that you understand that He can do those things, but there might be a time that you might just get to experience it. That God can do something that is out of your control. And so there's a great victory in that, and He has a great victory. Now what we see many times is when these victories happen, that men have a tendency to sway away from the Lord. They have a tendency to draw away. Good things are happening now. This is what happens in churches. Good things begin to slowly do the fading away. But I believe Hezekiah kept it together. He's a good king. He's one of the few good kings that came out of the split, out of the kingdom splits. But we see Hezekiah. He got sick one day. He got sick, and he was near death, and Isaiah comes to take a visit. Usually when a prophet would come to make a visit, they would come to tell you something good, or they come to tell you something bad. But I will tell you, the Bible says the sun shines on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous. Good things happen to good people, bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people, bad things happen to bad people. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet went to him and said, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Now, is that a punishment? Or is this a warning? I think it was just saying, hey, you've been a good king. I'm going to tell you you're going to die, but you need to get the house in order. You need to set it up. Who's going to be the next king? Because you know when you read through these kings, these books here, that when somebody's going to be king, many times these sons would go pretty crazy on who was going to be the next king. And here's what he says. He turned his face toward the wall. Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, away from the prophet. He didn't even talk to the prophet. What did he do? He prayed to the Lord. And he says this one thing. He says this one short thing. "Remember me, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight." And Hezekiah, the Bible says, he wept bitterly. He cried. He's going to die. But he said, "Lord, remember me." Now, God does something that is a little crazy here. And it happened before Isaiah had gone. Isaiah is ready to leave. He's not even out of the place. He's in the middle of the courtroom. He's in the middle of the court. And the word of the Lord came to him. And he says, I want you to return back to Hezekiah, the leader of my people. "Thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer." So you go back and you tell him, "I've heard your prayer." That's awesome. I like that. You know that he heard you, but when you get that confirmation, it's just good. He says, "I've heard your prayer." He says, "I have seen your tears." Now I want to tell you, God sees your tears. I want to see. God sees your tears. You know, there are all kinds of tears that we've shed. Hurt, pain, loss, physical pain, heartbreaking pain. So you see, it's one thing to go to God when you're in trouble, and your people's in trouble. That's one. That's good, and that's one thing. It's another thing to go to God when the trouble gets so bad that it's like almost, it's just out of your control. It's a good thing to go to God. It's a good thing to go to God when things are just, when you're ready and you're at the end of a road, you're at a crossroads and you don't know which way to turn. Hezekiah knew what to do. And God's going to do something that is just amazing. He says, "I've seen your tears, surely I will heal you." So now I'm going to heal you, is what he says. When you go back, I want you to tell him, "I've heard his prayer. I've seen his tears. I'm going to heal you, and on the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord." You're going to go up and worship. And he says this one thing, "I'm going to add to your life, to your days, 15 years. He gets 15 more years. I have not seen this anywhere else in God's word, where man can get the money, 15 years. Now, I don't believe that God loves one man more than he does another. I believe that the gift of salvation is for all men. Even at the expense and the cost that it costs, I believe it's still given freely to all men and women and young people. It's a gift that you have to take, and to receive it, you have to take hold of it. But I do believe that you can get God's favor. I do believe that there is favor, not a favorite. God doesn't have favorites. But I believe that you can have favor, which means you're a blessed person. God's going to bless. Here is truly a scripture that goes with scripture. You have not because you ask not. You see, many of us will put our heads between our legs and we will pout and we will cry and we will shout. We'll pray to the Lord and we'll give all the reasons why we should have something, why our prayer should be answered. But Hezekiah always done it differently. He almost, every time that we read, he goes to the Lord in prayer, almost that he just throws himself at the feet of the Lord and says, "Lord, have mercy upon me. hear my plea. And he steps back and he waits for God to move. It's amazing to me how many times I hear Christians say that I don't see God move. Or God moves for you, but he don't move for me. If you're a believer, we all serve the same Jesus, right? We all serve the same Lord. He is the same Lord that created the heavens and the earth. Amen? He's the same Lord that had the book of Revelations written. And all about our future. If your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, you do not get to inherit the kingdom of God. And down the river and all the awesome stuff that happens in heaven. So where does it get a little bit different? It gets a little bit different right here on this earth. On this round ball. That we all get to live whatever lifespan God allows us to have. We are supposed to live it in the way that God has us to live it. Amen? We all fall short. From day to day, we will fall short, not doing what God called us to do, or not doing what, or doing what we're not supposed to do. God knows that. But at the end of the day, have you spent time with the Lord? In His Word, that's this. In prayer, praying for others like you did this, earlier in this service. That God is a part of your life. You see, you can do these other things that Hezekiah did, but you can't do what you cannot fix, and you cannot make this up. On this last piece here that we have read, this is an accumulation of a godly lifestyle, where he says, "Remember me, O Lord, I pray, for I have walked before you." You cannot say that unless you have walked before the Lord in truth and with a loyal, look at me, a loyal heart. Loyalness is not attending church once a month. Loyalness is not picking up the Word of God once a month or only on Sunday mornings. Loyal to God is not just calling upon God when you're in trouble. Being loyal is being loyal that you have a relationship with God that is continuous on a daily basis. Amen? So he could say that he was loyal in heart and that he did what was good. He says, "I did what was good in your sight." Can you say that about your life today? That you're living your life good in the sight of God? Now, if you're a believer today and you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have something inside of you that is different back in the day than many of these individuals. You see, when we come to Jesus Christ and we have salvation, God instills into us what He calls the Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit speaks to us on the things of God. Now, if we have the Holy Spirit inside of us and we are a believer, we should be able to say that I am walking before the Lord. Rightly. If we're not, then something's wrong. And we need to get it right. We should be able to say that I am loyal to the Lord. If we cannot say that we're loyal and committed to God, then there's something wrong. We, as Christians, should be right. And this is the boasting, but we should be able to say, "I'm living right before the Lord." Now that's not a common thing today. Even amongst people who claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not a common thing today because we have, in America, we have taken our eyes off of Christ and put it up on every other agenda and then some. And I'm not saying, I'm talking about a lot of preachers. I'm talking about a lot of leaders in ministry. We put our eyes on other things and not upon the Lord. When things go, you know, I struggle with fundraising a lot. I struggle with it a lot. Lord, how much am I supposed to do fundraising and how much do I just step away from it? Because you are the greatest fundraiser ever. You own everything. Sometimes I might say, "Lord, could you sell one of those cattle on a thousand hills? Could you sell one of those? So we can be about some other things?" I want you to know, God's blessing doesn't always come in the shape and form that you may think it needs to come. God is never impressed on all that you do. I believe what puts a smile on God's face is obedience. I really do. Being obedient to the Lord, being obedient to His Word, being loyal, being committed, being a faithful servant of God. It's not all about how many boxes you can check off on how many things you've done, or how many people are in the church service, or how many people are in this, and how many people are in that. I think there are more churches and more people that are faithful than what we think. But I also believe that we, even in ministry, we have a tendency to let those big speakers come in and speak at the big conferences. I know I'm speaking to a different crowd than what I would be doing this if I was with the pastors. I'd be saying, quit being moved by the big, what you call movers and shakers in ministry. I'm not moved by movers and shakers in ministry. I'm moved by the Holy Spirit. I'm moved by the Lord and what He does. The things that only He can do. The goal was to raise $50,000 between now and the end of this year. We're at 36.2, I think. And I look at that, and I've heard a lot of people say, oh, that's just too big of a number. I know there's things right now that, there are some things people are working on right now, trying to even still get us to that goal, even though we didn't make it. But this is what I look at. I made no phone calls during this time. To raise any of those funds, I made no phone calls to anybody. We sent out a basic letter. I think it was at the end of October, 1st of November. We sent out a basic letter, and we had an auction fundraiser that raised some money. After it was paid for and everything, I think it was about $6,400 that we might have gotten, that we netted out of that. I'm going to ask you, where'd the other $30,000 come from? And if you go up on my desk, there's a lot of thank you notes that I got to write. There are people that have written a $5,000 check, $2,000 checks, $1,000 checks, $500 checks. There are people I have no clue who they are. So I believe the greatest fundraiser, the greatest thing is always laid it before, as He did, lay it down at the altar and let God do what God can do. Amen? Right. Obedience is what puts a smile on God's face. I don't believe it's always sacrifice. I believe obedience triumphs sacrifice. We see that in Scripture. But I know this. Hezekiah was a man that, first of all, the first thing that he did was, I've got to make sure my house is right. In my kingdom, he's responsible for it. My kingdom has got to get rid of a few things. Some stumbling blocks. Nobody would get rid of that old bronze serpent. Nobody had the guts enough to get rid of that old bronze serpent, and that became a stumbling block. And I'm surprised that David didn't get rid of it. I'm surprised that Solomon didn't get rid of it, but Hezekiah did. He got rid of it. There's some things that needs to be getting rid of out of our lives. Amen? But I know when you start putting good things in your life, godly things in your life, the darkness will begin to try to overshadow those things. And it will cause us to do another thing. It will draw us to the Lord. It will either draw away from God. You're either drawn away from God or drawn to God. And we see Hezekiah does the thing. He does the right thing. He prays. He takes it to the Lord. I'm sure a few people knew what was going on. The whole kingdom knew what was going on. But he takes it to the Lord and he prays. He goes to the church house. He goes to the house of the Lord and he prays. The letter comes again. Messenger comes now with a letter to try to entice and to intimidate. And he takes it once again to the Lord. And the Lord smites the enemy. There is always a temptation to pick up a sword. There's always a temptation to take it out of God's hand, to put it in your hand, and run out there and do all the fighting. There is a time to do those things, but you need to do them when the Lord calls you to. Victory comes when we give it to the Lord. Amen? But we also know this. Sometimes when something affects me personally, something affects you personally, that we can go to God. And God will answer prayer. And He will do some things that we cannot do. For Hezekiah, he healed him and gave him 15 years. Now I know that for some of you who have had loss, family loss, like myself, you sit there and watch someone that's passing away for 7-8 months, you have to work through that. There's a time. But I always know this. God is always doing more than what I can see. God's plans are bigger than I understand. And that I will trust in Him all the days of my life. Amen? Will you? Do you need to get rid of something in your life that's becoming a stumbling block? You're the one that's in power of your life. You're the one that needs to take it and get rid of it. Are you needing to go to the Lord because there's some things in your life that are pretty big and you need to bring it to Him and lay it at His feet? We're going to give you an opportunity for that.